Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with Simple Bible Studies. We are in the last chapter of the Epistles of John. We rejoice in the times we've had together as I poured out my heart to you concerning the wonderful truths that are found in this epistle. It just gets right down into your heart, doesn't it? I'm ashamed sometimes when I think of the fact that here is God waiting for my fellowship. Redeem me, covers me with the righteousness of Christ, joins me to himself in a union that's absolutely indestructible. And the thing he wants, my fellowship. The thing he wants is your fellowship. Oh, how often little old trivial things come into our lives or rob us of the joy and the blessing of the fellowship of an omnipotent God who loves us with an everlasting love. And we're dealing right now with this question of prayer in the Epistle of John chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. I'm going to read it again. We've been discussing the confidence and the boldness that a Christian has to come in the presence of God. He's our Father. We're his children. We've been redeemed, bought with a price. Nothing too great for God to do for man who is the object of his love. And nothing too small that he will not grant to his children. This is chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the Epistle of John. Let me read the verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. As I have said a moment ago, we have in chapters 2 and 4, chapter 2:28, 4:17, our future boldness at the coming of the Savior. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. But we also have a present experience of confidence and boldness. In chapter 3:21, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we love him. We keep his commandments. We love the brethren. And here it is again. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You see, again, I repeat it, the consciousness of divine life, the realization of our relationship with the living God, brings the believer into a place of boldness in prayer, confidence in prayer. Now, this boldness, this confidence is not just a belief. It's a practical experience. Because I know that the heart of God is open to every believer. That he wants your joy and my joy to be filled full. And the thing that robs us of joy and blessing is broken fellowship. We want our own way. We get occupied with ourselves. We even get occupied with our service for the Lord. It has its place. Christ must be the center of our affection and devotion, as well as the object of our faith. And when we walk in fellowship with him, there's a confidence. There's a simplicity. You don't have to shout it out. You don't have to have experiences of great, great blessing, but a peaceful confidence, a certainty that the ear of the Lord is open to the cry of his people. As someone has well said, that as if God were on his knees with his hand over his ears to hear the weakest, the faintest cry of his weakest child. Did you hear me? You say, Brother Mitchell, I'm the weakest of God's children, all right? His ear is open to your cry, to to my cry. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, that you and I have the right to come into the very presence of the living, eternal God, who framed the ages by the word of his mouth, who upholds all things by the word of his power. Nations are reputed before him as nothing, just the dust in the balance. Sovereign God. Yet, even though he upholds the whole universe by the word of his power, he will not withhold the smallest request that you bring to him. It is confidence. That's what it says here. Now let me go back to these scriptures. Have you got your Bibles? Instead of me quoting these things, look at your Bible. Look at John chapter 14. And I'm going to make the connection. Now most of you know John 14, 13 and 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, friend, oh, so many have said, Mr. Mitchell, I stood on those verses, I made my request, and God didn't answer them. Just a minute. What is the Spirit of God trying to teach us? This is true in all your Bible study. We oftentimes go off the deep end. We dig a passage entirely out of its context and miss what God is trying to teach us. What's the context? Verse 8, Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. The Lord's answer was, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Verse 11, believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. My words and my works reveal the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name. Ah, what's the connection? If you really believe on me, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask. Here are your resources. For what? Doing what he did. Representing the Father to men. Now please, please don't take verse 12 and say, well, Mr. Mitchell, do you mean if I really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will do what he did? It all depends what you mean by what he did. If you're thinking about cleansing lepers and opening the eyes of the blind and feeding the hungry and raising the dead and stilling the storms, I say no. No. In fact, if you take the first chapter of Mark, the disciples came to the Lord and said, all men are looking for you. All men are seeking you. What for? To see miracles. To see miracles. And Jesus said, let's go to the other towns. Let's get away from the crowd. Let's go to the other towns and preach the gospel. For this cause came I forth. Or you take Luke chapter 4, about verse 18, where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to give deliverance to those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and said, this day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. Our job is to preach the gospel to the poor. Our job is to bind up the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind. Oh, you say, that must be physical. No, my friend, Paul could say in Acts 26:18, the Lord has called me to open blind eyes and to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. See, friend, Jesus came to reveal the Father to men. Jesus came to reveal the character of God, the heart of God to man. Jesus came to redeem mankind and fit them for the presence of God. The miracles, the physical miracles he performed, were his credentials as to his messiahship, as to his sonship. Even the apostles never fulfilled verse 12 of chapter 14 of John. You don't find the apostles stilling the storm. Why didn't Paul still the storm in Acts 27? Do you remember the storm on his way to Rome? Why didn't he rebuke the winds? Why didn't he rebuke the storm? No, oh no. No, friend, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen to the verse again. Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. For what purpose? That the Father be glorified in the Son. Chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and to abide is to obey. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It should be done unto you, of course. If you're walking in fellowship with God, that's what it means to abide. And our fellowship is manifested by obedience. Our faith is evident by obedience. We'll have the mind of God. Whatever you ask, he'll give it to you. Why? Because you're in fellowship with him, you have the mind of God. See, certainly, you're not going to, you would be ashamed to ask for anything that is contrary to the will of God. Huh? What do you say? Are you going to ask something contrary to the will of God? But how can I know the will of God? By walking in his fellowship, have that fellowship restored. Walking in the light of the word of God. To they who obey my word. And when I'm obedient to his word, it's because I'm in fellowship with God. Then I know the mind of God. And it's God's way to allow us to be partners with God. We ask. We receive because we love him. Keep his word. Let's go to John 16. This was a revelation to me when I read this passage in John 16. Verse 23. Right on down to verse 28. And you notice that six times in six verses he talks about the Father. Listen to it. In that day, that is the day when the Spirit of God indwells you, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, in parables, I will show you plainly of the Father. In that day when the Spirit of God indwells you, that's now, you shall ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will pray the Father for you. Why? For the Father himself loves you because you have beloved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father. I'm coming to the world again. I'm going to leave the world and go to the Father. You see, while the Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, they talked to him. There he made their request known to him. But now he's going to leave them. He's going to leave them on earth. The Spirit of God's going to come and indwell them. Now, says Jesus, in that day when the Spirit of God indwells you, you'll ask me nothing. But whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, you've never asked in my name. Now you ask, and you receive, that your joy might be full. In that day you shall ask in my name. That is, we come to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. We make our requests known to him. What do you mean by praying in the name of the Lord Jesus? This is not tacking the name of the Savior to your prayer. It means you stand before God in all the life, in all the beauty, in all the merit, in all the righteousness of Christ. I tell you, my friend, when you and I come in the presence of God in the name of the Lord Jesus and realize we stand before God and all that Christ is before his Father, believe me, you're not going to ask for anything for just any selfish reason. You're going to ask because you love him. And he's going to answer you because he loves you. You be not according to my faith because he loves you. Listen to what he says. I do not say that I will pray the Father for you. The Father himself loves you because you love me. Look at John 17:24. The only request our Savior made for himself. Father, I will that all those whom you've given to me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. What is his request? Our Lord's request was that everyone who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ would behold our Savior in all his mortal glory. Upon what ground did our Lord expect the Father to answer him? For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world, on the ground of the Father's love for the Son. He expected the Father to grant his request. Now that's what you have in John 16. I do not say that I will pray the Father for you. The Father himself loves you because you loved me. You see, friend, again we come to a question of relationship. Relationship. Question of fellowship. Look at 1 John chapter 3 again. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, boldness. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, there's always something attached to it. Chapter 14 of John, we ask that the Father be glorified. In chapter 15, verse 7, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we ask what we will. In chapter 16, when I realize the love of the Father for me, that I stand before the Father in all the beauty and merit of Christ, I'll tell you, friend, I would be ashamed to ask for anything that is contrary to the will of God. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. By the way, listen to this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort there that first of all, prayers, intercession, the giving of thanks be made for all men, for all who are in authority. Now here's a definite command. This is the will of God, that I'm to pray for all men, everywhere. Because God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I am praying in the will of God that men and women shall come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm praying in the will of God that men shall take sinners and bring them to himself. Take verse 8 of that chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will that the men, the Andreas, the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without squabbling among yourselves. Friend, let me be very simple if I can about this. When you and I come in the presence of God, we will pray according to his will. And if I know that he hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that we desire of him. You see, friend, all these wonderful, wonderful promises God has given to us are for a purpose. Remember, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are God's fellow workers. And one of the great jobs God has given to us, one of the privileges, coming into the presence of God, to come with our requests, with our needs. We come for the glory of God. We come for the salvation of men and women. We come that the Father will be glorified in the Son. We come that Christ might be exalted in us and through us. We come that he might live out his life through us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. See, Mr. Mitchell, you're narrowing me down. You rob me of some precious promises. No. I'm not robbing you of anything. I'm just telling you that you can come to a place of real confidence before God, so that you will need not to say to anyone, I stood upon that promise in John 14 and John 15 and John 16 and so on, and God didn't answer my prayer. I know someone says, well, God always answers your prayer by saying, if he doesn't say yes, he can say no. I think that's just dodging the issue. Am I praying for the glory of God? Am I praying that God shall be made manifest in my mortal body? Am I praying that Christ will be exalted in the hearts and minds of his people? Am I praying for the salvation of souls? Am I praying for those who are in authority? Am I praying for my own government when I see conditions as they are today? And I believe that God's going to hold us, Christians, responsible for the way our government is run. I believe God has given to us a tremendous responsibility. Why do you think he leaves us down here? Why were you born in America? Why are you living in America? So you're a Christian? You have a tremendous responsibility before God. For those in Washington, D.C., for those in your own state, for your own city, I believe that more can be wrought. I'm not opposed to anything you're trying to do in a practical way. But I'm telling you, we're not doing enough on our knees for our government, for all in authority, for lost men and women. Pray for the believers that might be of one mind, of one heart. Oh, how many churches are breaking up because of the lack of unity. We've got a job. Believe me, we have a job. We've got a tremendous responsibility, which even the angels can't enter into. But you can, and come with confidence. I wish you'd take those passages again. John 14, John 15, John 16, 1 John 3, 1 John 5. And one could use other passages of Scripture. And please, may I remind you, this is your responsibility, to pray and to witness. Now walk with him today, won't you? Take the time to tell the Lord how much you love him. And the Lord bless you for his wonderful name's sake.